Let's open our Bibles together to Isaiah 55. While you're turning there, a few announcements. Ed Sparks is in the hospital, has been for the last couple days. He's been having some issues with his stomach. They've been running tests, and they've yet to determine kind of a course of action. So want to be mindful of him and the family as in the prayers. Also, Andrea Endicott's husband, his health's failing. He's been under hospice care, and last Frank heard is they were trying to get him to move to hospice, possibly as early as today. So, and then Frank and Janet, some of you had asked about Frank earlier. He is still in a lot of pain and waiting to be seen by a doctor, hoping to get something scheduled soon, so at least maybe get some physical therapy started. I know he had a pretty rough night last night. But I think equally painful, and he is in a lot of pain, is the fact that he can't be here for the worship service. I believe that may pain him as much as the grief his back's given him. He longs to be here with us to worship together and to preach. So let's keep him and Janet in our prayers. And then I'm sure there's a lot of others. I hate announcing folks because I know we always miss someone. I know there's a lot of folks just in a time of trouble. We don't even know about it. So if you have Isaiah 55, just two verses of scripture. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he'll have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. All right. We're going to have a special in song.
Yeah.
Sounds as good back there as it did up here. Thank you. Thank you, guys. So good. Open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 18. Our text will come from verse 10 of Luke 18. But before we begin, let's go to our Lord in prayer. Our God and Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity once again to gather, as a family, Lord, as a church, to read thy word, Lord, hear these hymns, Lord, hear a message from thee. Lord, we pray you bless us with your presence here this evening. Lord, for those of our number who are in a time of difficulty, Lord, a time of sickness, we pray you'd be with your people. Lord, we pray for Ed and Deb and their family. Lord, pray for the doctors as they tend to him. Pray for Andrea and her family. Lord, we pray for our pastor, Janet, Lord, that you would comfort him. Lord, that you would give him some relief as you see fit. And Lord, return him to us to again stand and preach your word. Lord, we thank you for your many blessings. Lord, we're thankful to have our brother Cecil back with us and pray that you continue to be with him. Lord, for those of our number who, Lord, are in a time of trouble, so many that we do not know of, Lord, we may not know, but you know all things. Comfort, strengthen, and encourage your people. In all things, teach us to look to thee and rest in thee. Again, we pray you'd bless us here this evening. Bless us with your word. Lord, give us a message from thee. Enable us to worship and praise thee, for thou alone art worthy. Pray you continue with us in days to come. Continue to lead us and guide us and direct us in all things. Lord, above all, teach us of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray and give thee thanks. Amen. Luke chapter 18, verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one, a Pharisee, and the other, a publican. Now, throughout the scriptures, we often read of two men. Nathan used the story of two men to reveal David's sin to him. You guys remember that? He said there was a rich man and a poor man that lived in the same city, and he went on and told that, and of course David got all upset until he realized Nathan was talking about him. He said, David, thou art the man. And that's what I'd like for us to do this evening. Just look at a few occasions here where two men are found in the Scriptures and what these teach us, what God's Word teaches us from these two men. Back in the book of Genesis, we read of Cain and Abel. Let's turn there together to Genesis chapter 4. Look beginning in verse 1 of Genesis 4. Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and unto his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and he slew him. Cain brought the fruit of the ground. He'd gone out, he plowed, he planted, he watered, he cultivated, and then he brought those. No doubt, much labor, much work went into that garden and what he would bring. He brought the works of his hands. Abel brought the firstling of the flock and the fat thereof. He brought an offering of faith. An offering that pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ, a lamb. Like that Passover lamb, an innocent lamb, sacrificed for the guilty. And we read that he brought the firstling of the flock. No doubt it was the best lamb. A lamb without spot and without blemish. Again, a sacrifice that pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ, our sinless Savior. He brought that lamb, and that lamb was slain. The Lord Jesus Christ, he was slain. He had to be slain. The wages of sin is death. There has to be payment for sin. Christ suffered and shed his blood for his sheep, for his people. Abel brought an offering, confessing his sin and owning that he was worthy of death. Our sin, my sin, it deserves the wrath of God. But the Lord Jesus Christ died as our substitute. He died in the room instead of his people. And he did so to make satisfaction before God's law. Abel brought a blood sacrifice. And look at those last few words in Genesis 4, verse 4. The Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and his offering, he had no respect. Abel's offering pointed to redemption. To redemption through a blood sacrifice. Two men. We read on in the Scriptures. We read of Ishmael and Isaac. God told Abram in Genesis 15, he said, Fear not, Abram, for I am thy exceeding great reward. God took Abram and he said, look now toward the heaven. He said, you look at the stars. You try and count them. If you can number them, so shall thy seed be. We go out on a clear night and look up to the skies. You can't even begin to number those stars. He promised him. He said, that's what you're going, that'll be your seed. But you know, time went on, and Abram's wife Sarah bore no children. And in time, Abraham and Sarah knew, no doubt, we don't know how long, but they obviously grew impatient. Their faith wavered. They doubted. And I guess they thought, well, maybe we should just help God out a little bit here. Isn't that what we're prone to do by nature? Aren't we quick to just not wait on the Lord? And Sarah said, take my servant Hagar, and you have a child by her. And she bore that son. She bore Ishmael. Ishmael, the child of the flesh. But then in time, Sarah would bear that promised son. She bore Isaac. Turn to Genesis 21. Look beginning with verse 1 of Genesis 21. And the Lord visited Sarah. Look what that says there. As he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age. Look when it happened there. At the set time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. God fulfilled his promise. What he purposed to do, he did. What he promised to do, he did. As he said, as he spoken, and he did it at the set time in which he said he would do it. What God promised, he brought to pass. Paul writing to the Galatians, he said, we brethren, as Isaac, are the children of promise. God's purpose to save a people. God's promise to save a people. And he'll do it when he's pleased to do so. Two men, Jacob and Esau. Turn with me to Romans chapter 9. Romans 9, look at verse 9. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah will have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy, and I'll have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but it's of God that showeth mercy. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Now men try to water that down. Men try to remove the offense of that. They say things like this. They say that that word hated, it just means loved less. But if we look back at what it says in the scripture, it says, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. God loved Jacob. He didn't love Esau. God chose Jacob. We don't read that he chose Esau. God blessed Jacob, but not Esau. God's mercy followed Jacob all the days of his life, even to the end, but not Esau. Esau was left in his sin. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. And what's truly amazing about that statement, probably the thing that we should really get taken up with is not the fact that God hated Esau. That should be pretty easy for us to understand. This is what's truly amazing about this statement. Jacob have I loved. Jacob, supplanter, thief. He deceived his father. He stole his brother's birthright. Earl, if Jacob come to buy your Jeep tomorrow, I'd say hide the keys and tell him you don't have the title, right? I mean, Jacob was just a despicable. But we read that God loved him. For the children not being not yet born, having done neither good nor evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him, him that calleth. Jacob was an object of God's mercy before he was born. Chosen before he had done any good or evil. Chosen according to the purpose of God. By God's mercy and by his sovereign will. Jacob, like all of God's sheep, chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world. Two men. We read of two men, Cain and Abel. Here we learn of redemption through a blood sacrifice. The scriptures declare without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Isaac and Ishmael. Here we see God's promise fulfilled, his purpose accomplished. Jacob and Esau. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. God's election. He said, I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious, and I'll show mercy to whom I'll show mercy. Two men. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 27. Look at verse 16. And they had a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was an infamous man. He was a man who had been committed into prison. He was a thief. He was a robber. He was guilty of sedition. He started an insurrection. He started an overthrow of the government. And during that overthrow, he'd murdered a man. Look at verse 17 of Matthew 27. Pilate said, therefore, when the people were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will you that I release unto you? Two men here. Two men. Barabbas or Jesus, which is called the Christ. What do we read of the Lord Jesus Christ? Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Call his name Emmanuel, God with us. He's the Son of God. He's God in human flesh. He's a man who was tempted in all points, like we. One really big difference. Yet without sin. The sinless Savior. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God by miracles, and wonders, and signs. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, take away the sin of the world. He healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind. He raised the dead. He of whom John the Baptist said, "There cometh one mightier than me, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to stoop down and loosen." Jesus Christ, who when he was with his disciples, there in John 18, when Judas had betrayed him, Judas received a band of men to come after him, to take him in. And these officers were sent from the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they came with lanterns and torches and weapons, like they were going to take in a hardened criminal that had been, you know, on the wanted list forever. That's how they came after our Lord. And Jesus, knowing all things that would come upon him, he looked at him, and he said to him, "Whom seek ye?" And they answered, and they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And our Lord, he said, "I'm he." And he spoke in power. He spoke in such power that those men fell back to the ground. And they asked him again. He asked them, he said, "Whom seek ye?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And our Lord uttered these words. He said, "I've told you that I'm he. If it's me that you seek, let these go." His disciples. He said, "If you seek me, let them go." Isn't that the same thing he did on the cross? When he hung there on the cross? "Take me. But let these, my people, let them go." Two men. And that's just a brief description, isn't it? We could go through the scriptures and we could never exhaust them, speaking of our Lord. But two men here, Barabbas, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you still in Matthew 27? Look at verse 21. The governor answered, and he said unto them, "Whether of the twain, which of these two men will you that I release unto you?" And it doesn't sound like they had to think about it very long, does it? They said, "Barabbas." They cried out, "Barabbas." Could anything speak more, I want to say, of man's depravity? Could anything speak more of our depravity? Could anything speak more of our fallen nature? Man wants his free will. I think we see it right there on display. Whom would you that I'd release unto you? Barabbas? A criminal? Or the Lord Jesus Christ? In verse 22, Pilate said, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ?" And they all said, all of them, you see that? They all said unto him, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "Why?" In verse 23, what evil has he done? But they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." All of them. That's what all of them said. And they said, look at verse 25. "Let his blood be upon us and upon our children." That's what all the people said. And had we been there, we'd have been shouting just as loud as any of them. "Crucify him. Give us Barabbas. What shall I do with Jesus? Let him be crucified." And all of them, the voice, that was the voice of all the people. And listen, it was by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. But Peter said this, he said, it was by that, but listen, it was by your wicked hands that you, in your wicked hearts, that you crucified, you killed him, all of you, all of us. Is it any wonder that we read in God's word, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? The scriptures declare that we are all of us are going out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Romans 5:12, therefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So what's my hope? What's our hope? Knowing something of our wickedness, and boy, we just see a glimpse of it, don't we? Something of our sin. What's my hope? Look at Matthew 27. Look at verse 38. Go over at verse 38. There were there two thieves. Two more men. Two thieves crucified with him. One on the right hand and the other on the left. The Lord Jesus Christ hung on that cross between these two thieves. The Lord Jesus Christ, whom God the Father made to be sin. Why did he do it? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He did it for his people, that we might be made righteous in him. And these two thieves, they railed on him. We read that in the scriptures. Both of them railed on him. They said this. They said what everybody else said. What all of them were saying. If thou be the Christ, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. They said he saved others. Himself, he cannot save. They said he trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if you'll have him. For he said, I'm the Son of God. Two men. Look at verse 44. How do we know that they said that? Well, look at verse 44. The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Those two thieves, they said the same thing. But my friend, something happened. Something happened in the midst of all of this. Think about what's going on. We see violence in our world today. No comparison to what was happening when our Lord hung on the cross. And in the middle of all that, Almighty God, in sovereign mercy, was pleased to reach down and grab one of his sheep. He plucked that brand out of the fire. In Luke's account, it says that while one of the malefactors continued to rail on our Lord, the other rebuked him. At some point in all this, something happened. Something was revealed to that man. There was a change. He said to him, don't you fear God, seeing that we're in the same condemnation? We're sinners. We've been condemned to die. And we indeed, justly. What's happening to us? We deserve it. We got it coming. We earned it. But this man, he's done nothing amiss. He now sees something of his sin. He sees something of his unworthiness. The truth that God is just to condemn him. He said, we indeed justly. We deserve this. We've got what's coming to us. And then he cries out for mercy to the only one who's able to give it. He sees something of Christ's sovereignty and majesty. We can tell that in what he says. He now calls him Lord. He says, Lord, Master, remember me when you come into your kingdom. His kingdom. His majesty, his greatness. He says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. The scriptures declare, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this thief, something's been revealed to him of sin. Something's been revealed to him of the glory and the majesty of our Lord. And he cries out for mercy. And our Lord says to this thief, to this sinner, he says, verily I say unto you, truly. That's a pretty, if you look that up, that word verily, that's a pretty strong word, but it means truly. Truly I say unto you, today you will be with me in paradise. You know, both of these thieves are going to die. There's no question about that. It's appointed unto man once to die. After that, the judgment. One's going to die in his sins. Two men. One's going to die in his sins. The other is going to die in the Son. He's going to die in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine when he closed his eyes in death? I can't imagine the fear that must have overcome him going to that cross, knowing this is it. Somewhere in the midst of all that, the Lord shows mercy to him. I have to think that last breath he took, it there had to be comfort. He had hope. The Lord had told him. Isn't that good news? I tell you, it's good news for the man to whom the Lord shows mercy. It's good news. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. His sin put away. We sing that hymn, the dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sin away. Turn with me to one more scripture. Turn back to Luke 18. Look at verse 10, where we started. Two men went up into the temple to pray. They went to the worship service. That's what we're doing here tonight. We've come to worship. We've come into this house to worship him. And the one was a Pharisee, and the other one was a publican. That Pharisee, their outward appearance was great, wasn't it? Huh? He came there seeking acceptance with God on his good deeds, by his long prayers, his religious activity, his giving, his pride and his self-righteousness, doing these works to be seen of men. The Pharisee, he stood and he prayed thus within himself. He said, God, I thank thee. He gave thanks. He stood in religious service. God, I thank thee. What did he thank him for? He said, that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. That's all outward stuff, isn't it? You're giving thanks for all these outward things. He said, I fast twice a week. Two times a week I fast. I was thinking about that. I bet everybody knew his fast days. He probably didn't shave that day. Probably had a 5 o'clock shadow, messed his hair up a little bit. Made sure that everybody knew that he was doing some service for the Lord. No doubt about it. He said, I give tithes of everything I possess. Our Lord in Matthew 23, he said, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You pay tithes of mint, anise, and cumin, but you've omitted the weightier things of the law. Judgment, mercy, faith. These are the things. If you want to be taken up with the law, these are the things you need to be taken up with. It was all about that outward appearance. Look at Luke 18:13. Two men, Pharisee, publican. Now we read about that publican. The publican, standing afar off, he wouldn't so much as lift his eyes unto heaven. But he smote upon his breast. Right there where the source of the problem is. The heart. The wickedness. This old, corrupt, sinful, dead heart. We read the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who could know it? And he cried in his humiliation and in his shame and in his sin. God. He cried to God. God be merciful. God be merciful to me, the sinner. God. He cried unto God. God against whom I've sinned. God who looks on the heart. God in whom there is mercy and forgiveness. God who alone can put away his sin in Christ. And he says this, be merciful. Be gracious. Be propitious. It points to the mercy seat. Mercy through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to Psalm 51 with me, real quick. Psalm 51. I believe his prayer sounds a lot like David's here. David said in verse 1 of Psalm 51, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when you speak and clear when you judge. Pardoning mercy through Christ. God be merciful to me, the sinner. David said this in Psalm 25:11, for thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. Luke 18:14, our Lord, speaking of two men, he says of this publican, this sinful publican, this publican that cried out to God for mercy. The Lord Jesus Christ said this. This man went down to his house justified. The scriptures declare that publicans and sinners came to him. Is it any wonder they did? This publican went down to his house justified, righteous, declared righteous by the Son of God. Our Lord, he ate with publicans and sinners. That self-righteous man, that self-righteous Pharisee, he said, I thank you that I'm not like this publican. Oh, wouldn't you love to be like, don't we desire to be like that publican? Two men. This publican, this man went down to his house justified, righteous. Aren't we thankful that the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, they said this not as a compliment, but we could certainly take it so, that he's the friend of publicans and sinners. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Two men. Why did our Lord tell this parable? He told it to those who thought they were righteous by what they did. Aren't we thankful that he's pleased to save sinners? Two men. One trusted in himself, and the other took his place as a sinner and cried out for mercy. Oh, that the Lord would deliver us from self-righteousness, and that he would cause us to fall at his feet and beg for mercy. Let me read one more scripture to you here over in Isaiah 55. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he'll have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. There's our rest. There's our hope. It's in him and all of him. May God be pleased to bless his word. You're dismissed.